Greetings, everyone, and welcome to the Reasoning with an Optimist podcast for the week of May 29th, 2016. This is Jack Bressett Mills. Part two of my conversation with Tony today. I'm thinking ahead. I'll probably only do this podcast for 1 year, and that means I've got maybe 10 more people to record. I've got three or four in the queue. Anyway, if you had any wish to be one of the people I talk with, I would love it if you let me know. But anyway, today, first of all, the verses I wrote for Rudolf Steiner's Calendar of the Soul. For his week 9, this one I wrote 2 years ago. Verse 9. This light and warmth calls me somehow to come away, to lay aside coldness, to leap my narrowness. And stepping toward unknowing, a sure feeling tells me, this is you, close your eyes and come along. And this one I wrote last year for the same Rudolf Steiner verse, verse 9a. The farther I rise within this beckoning light, the stronger, the freer I feel. Though I seem to nearly lose myself, my highest senses tell me, all is well, come away. Yeah, this conversation I had with Tony is probably the best conversation on race I've ever had in my life. I don't know that it's just because of Tony being so cool, or probably because this podcast made me try to converse. I hope you'll give it a try, too. Thank you again, Tony. Here you go.
I was going to say, that's the only good thing about Trump, is that the cover is off.
Yes, exactly right, man. I mean,
that's the only good thing I can see with it, is that you can see clearly who, that's what they're saying. Yeah. Is there an app that shows which of your friends is racist? Yeah, it's called Facebook. It's a great, Facebook is the best way to tell who's racist and who isn't.
That's exactly right. And I'd rather know than not know.
Me too.
I would really rather know. I want to know what you think. I want to know. And there are no surprises, you know. If I know I'm going to see you on the street, I need to cross the street.
Yeah.
When we do come together there, I'm going to do it. That's great. I want to know. I don't want any secrets or, you know, any surprises, you know, at my luncheon or brunch or whatever. You know, no surprises, man, because you're not going to be invited.
I feel that way, too, but I also have, like, a block list of about 85 names, you know, so I don't...
You really have that many?
I do.
That is crazy.
Because I don't want to deal with racists either. I know that they're there, but as soon as I see that they're there, I don't ever want to see them again. I believe in horses. You know, horses, if there is a problem amongst horses, what's the solution? The boss of the pack, the lady boss of the pack, she will say, get out of here.
Mm-hmm.
And you'll be separated. You will not be allowed to be amongst good, nice horses anymore. You have to go off. And then eventually you'll apologize. You'll come back and be nice. And I don't know if I'll ever not block these people, but I think it's my duty to segregate them from my lovely friends and make them realize, you know, all my friends are jerks. You know, if people look around and say, you know, all my friends are jerks, I hate all my friends, maybe they can then get some idea that something's wrong with their life. You know, I felt that way about brothers of mine, that I'm not going to come see you anymore. Maybe eventually you'll look around and say, I don't have any friends. And then, because as long as you can say, well, Jack's my friend, they can still be a jerk. As long as they can still look to me and say, ah, well, he's still my friend, they can still go on. So I like to pull myself away from people like that and get them closer and closer to not having any friends. They become their Ted Kaczynski in the woods then, and they make bombs and whatever. But
so you're saying before this election, before the political thing, it never came up in any kind of conversations? You didn't know? Or were these just loose acquaintances? You know, like, did you just...
So you're talking about my block list?
Yes.
Oh, no, I've been doing it from... Well, I got on Facebook in, like, 07 or 08. And mm-hmm. so from the first moment, I've been outspokenly liberal and equal rights. And so whenever I see anyone being gross against that...
Mm-hmm.
I don't argue with them. I mean, if they're a friend of mine, maybe I'll say something, but pretty
quick. Do you think they're just afraid that, like if everybody had the same access to education, right. Everybody had access to the same medical care and, you know, the same type of housing, do you think, are they just afraid that some of these minority groups would just be smarter than they are? I mean, what do you think... Is that the problem, that they're afraid that someone's going to be better than them?
There was this great thing that Mark Twain wrote about the Jews way back 100 years ago. He defended the Jews by saying the reason we don't let them do stuff is they're better than we are.
Mm-hmm.
And every time we let them do anything, they become the best doctor, the best lawyer, the best businessman, everything. So we, throughout history, we've taken everything away from them.
That's right.
And yet
they still thrive.
And then the women, it's the same with women. It's the same with minorities. Yeah. They come in, the Vietnamese come in, and they take over all the stores, and the Latinos come in, and they're working everywhere. Everybody who comes in this country from the outside who isn't the white guy, they take it on to become the greatest new thing. And I think that the typical white guy is really tired of that. He wants to sit mm-hmm. back mm-hmm. and say, no, this is my country. Get the hell out of here and go back mm-hmm. to how you used to be, the slave. It was so much nicer when you guys were the slaves.
Nicer when we just came in and took all the Indians. You know, we just raped land. And, you know, why does this have to be so difficult? What do they want to do all day?
I was talking to Kofi about why white people ended up taking over so much of the world in the first place. And I think that they were better at thinking up horrible weapons that will hurt people. And that's not a plus. If you say, I'm really good at thinking up evil ways to kill people, mm-hmm. I mean, that's not something to be proud of, but it does win you countries. It wins you society. You can...
Right.
You can wipe out people. But then enough time has gone by where we have to start saying, well, you know, it's this whole King of the Hill thing. If you're on top of the hill, do you say, okay, let's start again? Or do you say, okay, now I'm making the rules for everybody? You know, this whole idea that United Nations is a bad thing, that, you know, mm-hmm. back when Bush was president and people were afraid the United Nations were going to take over, that whole idea was, we are on top. We are the kings.
Mm-hmm.
Why would we ever let anybody have a chance? Now is our chance to wipe out everybody and we'll just enslave the world. That was the motivation behind getting rid of the United Nations. Now no one has to tell us what to do. We can do whatever we want. And I guess that's failed. It doesn't work any longer. We could do that 100 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
It doesn't work anymore. There's too much public awareness, too much power has been granted to the minorities. And so the white has to kind of start bowing down. But they don't like it, man. They do not like it.
No, they don't.
Having to learn to share. We never do it, do we? When we're 2 years old, no way, we're not going to share.
Mm-mm.
And, oh, it's so hard.
It is.
So sad. I'm totally believing in this idea that we choose our race, just like we choose our sex. We come in here, we chose this race and this sex for a purpose, and we're going to learn something, and then we're going to choose a different one. And so I'm totally, just like my car, I'm not a Toyota. I drive a Toyota, but mm-hmm. I am not a Toyota. And so I'll get out of the Toyota, and then maybe I'll get another car someday, and it's not like it can't be something else. I can drive another car. And mm-hmm. so I've never really felt connected to any particular race, except that I'm in this one right now. But I'm open to anything. I can be anywhere, do anything. And
don't you really despise, you know, the friend that I was talking to you about and how he chooses to, you know, kind of give people advice at the park. Well, if you looked at him, you know, the issue, this kind of ties in, he was basically kind of directing various people, you know, not to let your dog, I mean, if their dogs, these dogs are not in control, the dogs that he's encountering, his three are on leash. These other people's dogs are just running up to his dogs or they're just pooping everywhere. And he'll say things just like, you know, did you know there's a dog, off-leash dog park right up there, right up the hill. And every one of them, you know, really barked at him and when they were nasty to him when they responded back. And the last lady he said something to, she yelled at him and said, she said, stop profiling me. Uh-huh. Which is really hilarious.
Yeah.
Because I said to him, well, that's funny. I said, was she brown skin? Because that's hilarious. You know, that's like something else to add to my list of
yeah,
profiling.
Say that. That's
you know, like that's oh funny. Yeah, all black people, they just let their dogs yeah. run up to their people. You know, it's like, what? You know, and they let their dogs poop everywhere. I mean, that's one I hadn't ever heard. And so when I said it to him, though, he was really like, no, I don't see color. Like, that's the problem. We've got each other segregated. And I'm like, okay, well, you know, like I'm thinking I was just joking, number one, because it's really funny to think yep. that that's in the list of things to be
yes,
profiled.
Yes, yes.
And then number two, it was just completely an inaccurate use of the word profiling.
Oh, yeah. Right. That's right.
It was so funny. But what he said was, I don't see color. Like, I don't think that. And all I could think was, you know, this guy, he's a white guy and he's older. And that's all she saw.
Yep.
That's all she saw.
Yep.
And I thought that must suck so bad for him because to be so liberal and for him, not to, race wasn't on his brain. All he was thinking was, look, lady, your dog is harassing my dogs. End of story.
Yep.
That was it.
Yeah.
And she had to think that just because of the way he looked, and then she got offensive, you know, defensive because he said something
yeah,
to her.
Yeah.
And so I just was thinking about him, and I thought how I would not be real thrilled right now yeah. in this country to be a white man right now who's liberal.
Yeah.
And nobody knows it.
That's right. No, you can't. And
there's no
amount of white suffering that you can possibly go through that will equal anything that the races have suffered. So no white.
Even if you went to an institution that was all black or something, yeah. nobody's still going to feel sorry for you. I know. I don't. Yeah.
I still think
at the end of the day, you're going to get out of that. And,
yeah.
and it's like you have more opportunities. You
yeah.
still will have more opportunities after you endure that. Now, I appreciate it, and I know they have an idea what I'm telling them about, and I'm
yeah.
just being honest right now.
Yeah.
I know that they have a much better understanding of what I'm telling them about not being allowed to sit on the bus in grade school,
yeah.
but I still would feel like, oh, you know, okay, you're right. I wouldn't think that suffering was exactly the same.
It's not the same.
Because that suffering would end after 4 years, you
yep.
know, or
yep.
or whenever the family moved.
Yeah.
Mine was going to keep going.
That's
you know?
Right.
Like,
that's right. That's right. Did you remember this? Maybe you were too young. Eddie Murphy, when he was on Saturday Night Live.
Oh, yeah. Watching
he did this. He dressed up as white.
Yes,
and he went.
That was
on,
the best thing I'd ever seen on the bus. Oh my God!
He had one day as a white man. As soon as all the people of color left the bus, all the white people opened champagne
and party. It was probably one of the most. It was probably. I don't know. That was a skit that probably really hit home. It hit home like probably 1,000%.
Yeah,
I thought it was brilliant and.
Yeah.
And I just thought that's it.
Remember how he had to walk with his butt cheeks really tight because white people
yeah.
walk really tight butt, and then he would just walk really tight. It was so cute. I love that man so much.
That was a great skit.
So,
it was really, really
why
good.
Why the hell? I had a racist dad, and I lived in a racist town, and in my junior high, the blacks and the whites were equally numbered.
Really?
But at the time... The blacks were fighting. It was in the 60s. So the blacks were angry. The whites were clueless, completely clueless. But the blacks were angry and united. And in our school, the black, you could not go in the black entrance because they would beat you up. And so we were the oppressed, even though we were equal in number, we had no organization whatsoever. The blacks had the community. They were together. And I really saw the value of community then. It was so cool. And then
they let you approach them? Would they let you in at all?
Personally, I somehow was immune. I have no idea why I was immune. People never beat me up. Uh-huh. You know, we'd be going down the hall, and suddenly you realize on both sides are black guys, and they are punching every white guy that goes by. And so suddenly the white people just go single file. They don't group up and fight. They go single file and get punched. That's totally...
You're kidding.
Yeah, that's exactly what happened. But then when it came to my turn to be punched, I would just go through and they wouldn't punch me. And I'd never understood why not. The people in front of me and the people behind me. And so I don't know if I was already showing signs of being a nice guy. I have no idea.
Uh-huh.
But so I never was, I never got the feeling that anybody hated me or that I hated anybody. So that was nice. But I totally understood the anger on that side. It was so rotten at that period, just rotten, rotten, rotten in the 60s.
Well, I hope nothing I've said would make you think that I condone them punching everybody.
No, no.
That's bullshit.
But you don't condone it. But on the other hand, you go, not anything would repay the suffering that the white have done to the Latino, the black, the anything. The whites have been crushing races throughout all times. Just horrible, horrible, horrible. And we taught, I read these amazing stories of Africa in World War II, up until World War II. Already at that point, all the French and the British and the American, they've been going into Africa and paying any blacks they found to find other blacks to sell. You know, we're training them by paying them and rewarding them for being the worst possible kind of people. For hundreds of years, we've been training the blacks to screw each other.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's horrible. And then World War II, the China was invading Africa, and Russia was invading Africa, and Germany was invading Africa. And the whole world was trying to take over Africa. So now when we're seeing, Africa just can't get its shit together, you know, they're fighting each other. Man, we taught them all that stuff for hundreds and hundreds of years. Oh, what a
weird... You know,
I
never heard it put that way. I've heard people say, well, you know, people have to also remember that blacks were, you know, they were selling their own people. But
no,
I never heard anybody say it the way you did.
Yeah. Anyway.
So that's a good point. I never heard it that way. I heard it the other way, that, you know, they weren't all great either because they sold their own people.
On an individual basis, though, you can still think that this world is a test. It's a test for me alone to see whether, if I am surrounded by evil people, will I become evil or will I stay good?
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm,
and
mm-hmm.
I totally have always felt that way, that no matter how horrible the world is, it's a test for me. Am I going to join the horrible world or am I going to still... And I think anyone anywhere in the world can have that philosophy. It doesn't have to be driven out of you. You don't have to have it pummeled out of you. I think I could withstand my philosophy in any prisoner camp, in any horrible neighborhood. I think I could still, who knows, I haven't been tested hardly enough, I guess, but I think I could still be a good person no matter where I was.
I think I could too, because I tend to always come back to, really, how come, why can't we just so I'm hoping I hope that's true for me too.
And that poor Rodney King saying, why can't we all just get along? Isn't it funny how we make fun of anyone who's trying to get along? We make fun of them.
Yep, yep.
He said a perfectly good thing. After being beaten the hell out of him, he said, why can't we get along? He has every reason to be hateful, and he's not. And so now we have to make fun of him for the rest of his life.
Right.
Poor guy.
Right.
Oh, my God. What a place.
It is. You know what? It's a really weird place. It really is. And I know, you know, I don't know. It'll be okay to go away and see what else there is.
Yeah.
I I'm not ready to die necessarily, but
no.
this is a bitch. I mean, this place is something. It's just amazing.
Well, at least other countries exist that you can go check out, you know.
That's true, you know. That's very true.
I was talking to
Kofi. May need to happen.
I was talking to Kofi that I was up with him up in Pennsylvania, and when I'm driving, I can pass cop cars on the highway, you know, because I'm white. I know I can pass cop cars. I don't have any fear of me. And so he's going, man, how do you do
that? That's interesting.
I said to him, well, probably if I was in Africa, you know, I'd have to be more afraid. He said, no, you wouldn't. They will still be kind to you there, too. He said, he was somehow saying it's the white people who are bad, not the black people. And I believe that's correct. I believe that is correct, that it's not simply because I'm the majority. It's because the white people are that way and the black people are not. I've always felt more warmth and more community feeling coming from the black neighborhoods. We used to drive into Detroit for Barbara. She went to the Waldorf School, which was in this place called Indian Village, which was really kind of a ritzy little neighborhood in the middle of horrible neighborhoods in Detroit. And we would drive in from Ann Arbor once a week. And we'd go past block after block of these places where everybody is out on their porch, on the sidewalk, between their homes. Everybody's out. And I was really feeling kind of jealous about that because white people do not do that. They don't want to be with each other. They're totally separated, and they want their little walled neighborhood, and they don't want to meet anybody. I really felt that white people are missing something of the heart, of the community, of the we are a people together. You know, I could really feel that from...
How long ago was that?
That was in the 80s and 90s.
See, I think things have changed.
Yeah.
I think things have changed in that regard because I feel like a lot of the black community is really not as united as it used to be. Not as much as when I was a kid. I didn't feel like it.
Because of more money or because of more anger?
Because of drugs and anger and just drugs and people are so mad. And, you know, I had kids when I was teaching high school who they hadn't experienced firsthand yet any serious racism, nothing yet, but still acted like they had just because they were listening to their aunts and uncles talk and, you know, or moms and dads talk about their experiences. They took them on as their own and didn't then want to give whites as much of an opportunity or a chance to be different, but wanted to then assume they were going to treat them the same way that they did their parents.
Of course.
And, you know, as much racism as I experienced in my young life, I had the fortune of having a mama who told me never to judge anybody until they, you know, revealed to me who they were.
Yeah,
you know,
you
deal with everybody. She said there is bad and good in every race there is, but not everybody preaches the same thing.
Yeah.
So I was able to learn that, you
Beautiful.
Know, not every white person is the same. Not all of them are the same. And I had many experiences with both. I had just as many, you know, with shit assholes, you know, as I did really great people.
Yep.
And that's the way it is. But I don't just always assume it, you know, and I used to err on the side of never assuming it, you know, just short of somebody burning a cross in my yard. I still didn't want to believe it. You know what I mean?
Yep.
Because
no,
to
so
believe that somebody's that
believe.
Way is the worst thing you can think about a person.
Yep, it is.
And you got to damn well know that's exactly right. So I'd rather give somebody the benefit of the doubt if they might be 60% racist, but I want to know they're 100% before I'm going to say it. Because, damn it, once you say that
that's
about somebody, that's like a black mark. I mean,
that's right.
That's like a, you know, on them forever.
Yep. I wanted to say, I used to tune, I haven't done it for a while. People call me and we definitely have this racist border in Austin. Somebody decided maybe 50 years ago that the interstate highway was going to go through town and on this side is going to be black and this side is going to be white. And it's still kind of that way, but now it's becoming more Latino instead of black. And anyway, I have worked over there a couple times. I live far from there, so I don't get calls over there. But I'll go into tune And the little black lady will see me, and she hadn't realized, maybe the son had called me, and he's not there, so I come in. And I have been looked at as though I am the devil, and I know exactly why a person would think that, because white people can appear to be nice. Imagine all the priests and people of clergy that came here, and the Indians would meet them, and they were wonderful, and they'd share dinner with them. And then here come the troops, and they wipe everybody out and rape everybody. You know, white people, you can't trust them. And so I totally understood the feeling I was getting. They just kept looking at me to see, when would I become the devil? You know, when would I change? And it's really something to see that in people. And I totally understand it. It's totally reasonable to think.
You think so, even though that even though that one person, you know, didn't experience, maybe she didn't experience, you know, that. Doesn't that make you feel bad?
No, I totally understand. There's no amount that they shouldn't feel that I might do, because how else? There's no way to tell them how to know when someone is going to be a racist or not, or bad or not.
No, but it's not.
Michael Moore wrote this great book called Stupid White People.
Yes.
And he says, you know, the news says it's always the black guy that's doing the crime. But in my life, every time I've been screwed, it's by a white guy. The guy that screwed me on my car, the guy that screwed me on, on my divorce, and the guy that screwed me at the bank, they were all these white people. And it's an amazing thing that the media says it's the black person that's going to screw you. But really, it's not. It's the white person. And just, it's so amazing that we are so bad. We're just bad. And I can't believe anyone should trust a white person from looking at...
Oh, Jack, come on.
I don't know what to say. I have no feeling that anyone... How can you tell someone how to know? Can you explain how to know when someone... Yeah, so I have no idea. I have no idea how to explain that.
But I also don't know how to know with anybody. No. I don't until...
I think I do, though. Myself, I think I do.
It's a feeling.
Yeah.
Well, it's just a feeling I get, you know, and I take a chance.
Yeah, there you go.
I take the chance. And I want to just take back, I said, to say somebody was racist without knowing 100% sure would be a dark mark on them. That's like a negative connotation. I hate when everybody uses that. Don't you hate that? Yeah. It's like, it's a real white mark.
That's a real white mark.
It's like, well, okay, or is it just a little white lie? Well, what the fuck does that mean? You know, give me a break as opposed
to what? That's right.
So, you know, so no, it wouldn't be a dark mark. It would just be a mark on them.
A
sad mark.
Back at the beginning when I mentioned the sculpture with the smiley face on the side, I think it's a humorous place here. If you can look at it from the outside and you go, man, this sucks down there. I can't believe you people were down there all that time. And, oh, my God, that's really hard. I'm sorry about that. You know, it's pretty amazing. It's really pretty amazing.
Boy, I love her laughter. Thank you so much again, Tony. Thank you all for listening. If you have any comments, let me know. Drop me a line at myreasoningwithanoptimist.net. And tune in again next week. This is Jack Bressett Mills. Bye-bye.